Hey, you know what? There continues to be a great deal of confusion about what exactly is 5G. You see, it means different things in different contexts. And with confusion inevitably comes fear. Man, we got enough of that. Not a big fan of it. Let's replace that fear with some knowledge. So today, we begin a brief but important journey, step by step. This may actually be 3 or 4 episodes to talk about this thing in its entirety, but I really want to help you understand what exactly is 5G. 5G? It's the malignant spread of Wi-Fi. Coming up.
EMF Remedy is dedicated to helping you understand which electromagnetic threats are present in your home, and whether in the context of your current home, one you're considering for purchase, or building a new home with comprehensive protection designed in, EMF Remedy can help you reduce your family's exposure to harmful, man-made electromagnetic radiation.
Hi, this is Keith Cutter with EMFRemedy.com. Host of the EMF Remedy podcast, where we help you deal with electromagnetic poisoning in this upside-down reality where personal radiation exposure has become the norm. And today we're beginning the task of dissembling 5G. There's a great deal of confusion about 5G and its precise meaning. Also a great deal of fear surrounding the topic in general. And I would say, metaphorically, 5G has become a specter or an apparition. If you want to see what that looks like, head on over to Substack. I have an amusing graphic. Anyway, metaphorically, 5G, it's become a specter. But what precisely is it? Let's come out of the darkness where the specters live and examine this phenomenon in the light of day. It's not that the various things that are associated with 5G aren't harmful. I'm not saying that at all. I just want to replace the fear of 5G with knowledge and a plan for reducing personal exposure. So let's start with this. I have 3 statements. Statement number 1. Not everything that projects RF radiation and is called 5G has to do with 5G cell service. Number 2. Not all forms of 5G project millimeter wave radio frequency radiation. Number 3, not everything that projects millimeter wave RF radiation is 5G. So we're going to try to get through these one by one. Today we're going to address number 1. Not everything that projects RF radiation and is called 5G has anything to do with 5G cell service. The focal point of the 5G apparition is 5G cellular telephony and mobile broadband data transmission. That's a mouthful, right? 5G, in my mind, is cellular telephony, you know, being able to talk on your cell phone, and mobile broadband data transmission, because we can't live without them datas. Or the 5th generation of cell phone, quote, service. For brevity, I'm going to use 5G cell service in our discussion today. But please keep in mind, 5G cell service is about digital transmission of both voice and data using cellular technology. Also, please remember that the word service in the 21st century from an EMF perspective means living in an adulterated electromagnetic environment. To use the quote service, you must be in an altered electromagnetic environment, one foreign to life itself, I would argue, a sea of unnatural radiation. No sea of unnatural radiation, no cell service, no Wi-Fi. Among the primary types of non-native electromagnetic fields, electric fields, magnetic fields, dirty electricity, and radio frequency radiation, 5G, in its various forms, is a radio frequency radiation problem. Anything related to 5G yields exposure to man-made radio frequency radiation. I'm planning to cover this topic, like I say, 3 to 4 part series. Today I want to talk about one thing that people lump into the 5G bucket, which is not associated with 5G cell service. Today's discussion is 5G in the context of Wi-Fi, the malignant spread of Wi-Fi. Why do people sometimes conflate Wi-Fi with 5G cell service? It all comes down to this. Are you ready? It all comes down to the letter G. That's right. The entire confusion around the Wi-Fi versus 5G cell service conundrum, the confusion, is because of the letter G. So let me explain. When you're looking at a list of local Wi-Fi servers with which you connect, you know, maybe you're on your smart device or your computer, and you're looking around for the device you want to connect with, you may see a hypothetical name such as Triton Industries 5G. With all you know about the undesirability of 5G in local communities, you're shocked to clearly see what you believe to be ironclad evidence of 5G in your community. You have been dreading this day. You don't know who or what Triton Industries is, but it's clearly part of the awful 5G rollout, right? No, it's not. Not a part of 5G cell service at all. But it says 5G. It's right in the name. I can see it right there on the list. I'm going to tell all my friends, our little town has 5G. We need to move now. Hold on. Hold on. This misunderstanding is, as I say, based on the capital letter G and nothing more. With regard to Wi-Fi networks, the G means one thing. With regard to 5G cell service, the letter G means something altogether different. That's it. To unravel this mystery, we need to talk a little about frequency allocation bands and special bands called ISM bands. So frequency allocation bands, including ISM, which stands for Industrial, Scientific, and Medical bands, are specific ranges of frequencies within the electromagnetic spectrum that are designated for particular uses. The ISM bands are unique because they're reserved for industrial, scientific, and medical purposes, allowing devices operating within these bands to do so without requiring a license. Examples include microwave ovens. And I'll just say, if you don't have a good RF meter, you will have never seen this, but most every home I go into, although the microwave ovens are supposed to be safe and have adequate seals, man alive, do I ever see that turning on a microwave fills the entire home with microwave radiation. But I digress. Where was I? All right, we were talking about devices such as microwave ovens, wireless LANs, including Wi-Fi, Bluetooth devices, and cordless phones, all of these things live in the ISM, Industrial, Scientific, and Medical band allocations. So you got that. Humanity has chosen to divide the natural electromagnetic environment, which was created for our benefit, into designated bands for human use. We're going to send data over this electromagnetic spectrum that wasn't created for that purpose. What could go wrong? Let me say that there are many ISM bands. The most popular is called the 2.4 gigahertz band. Guess why? Because the frequency allocation begins at 2.4 gigahertz, and it goes up to 2.4835 gigahertz. This is a popular spot where, without a license, manufacturers create, quote, intentional radiators of RF radiation. Devices which intentionally propagate RF radiation into the environment. Now, the first generation of Wi-Fi routers radiated exclusively within the 2.4 gigahertz band. We'll talk one day about the fact that you don't really need Wi-Fi in order to connect to the internet, but for now, the point is that the original corruption of our environment with Wi-Fi was limited to the 2.4 gigahertz band. I'm not saying it's safe. I'm just saying it was limited to that particular band. As time went on, the 2.4 gigahertz band was increasingly filled with Wi-Fi radiation, of course. So much so that in some cases, data throughput was affected. The network slowed down. What did we do? Did we admit that sending data through the air was harmful to all life on the planet? Did we implement a public health communication encouraging people to use non-radiating methods, non-wireless methods of connecting to the internet or to their printers? That would be negative. No, of course not. We opened up a new frequency allocation band for greater spread of Wi-Fi radiation. Brilliant. Instead of limiting its malignant growth, we provided for Wi-Fi radiation into an additional part of the electromagnetic spectrum. So in addition to the other allocation. And it was, guess what, the 5 gigahertz ISM band, which typically spans frequencies from approximately 5.15 gigahertz to 5.93 gigahertz. So guess what all the cool kids did? They were the first to run out and buy brand new Wi-Fi routers that operated in the 5 gigahertz band. You see, it was kind of like an exclusive club in the early days. And how did they communicate their new status among the unwashed masses? Well, by using a new Wi-Fi server name. So the old name, they just kept that on the 2.4 gigahertz band, Triton Industries. But when they got their proud, you know, they were proud of their new 5 gigahertz router, they named that one Triton Industries 5G. The 5 in this 5G meant 5 gigahertz, not fifth generation cell phone. This malevolent spread from the ISM 2.4 gigahertz to the 5 gigahertz band began in the early 2000s. That has nothing to do with 5G telephony. We were barely into 4G at that point in time. All right, so that's the story. It began in the early 2000s, I mentioned that. So, for example, Netgear introduced their first 5 gigahertz router, which was called the RangeMax 240 wireless router, part number WPN824, in 2003. So that's the story of 5G in the context of Wi-Fi. It has nothing to do with what's going on with the 5G cell service. In one case, we're talking about 5 gigahertz on Wi-Fi. In the other case, we're talking about a fifth generation of cell phone service. But you know what? It's been a huge point of confusion. And now that you know what 5G nomenclature means in the Wi-Fi arena, now that you know the 5G Wi-Fi story, that mention of 5G as a Wi-Fi device is not related to 5G cell service. Share that with your friends. Let's see if we can't tamp down all this confusion that's relating to fear about 5G. I'm not saying 5G is anything good. I'm just saying let's understand it. And then as we move forward, we'll talk about how to reduce personal exposure. So we can cross one item off our list of 3 items I mentioned at the onset. The first item was not everything that projects RF radiation and is called 5G has to do with 5G cell service. All right, so we can cross that one off our list. We have a couple of more items on that list. Going to take at least 2 more episodes to talk about all this. But stick with me. And let's see if we can address the remaining items to further enhance our understanding. And God willing, next time, we'll focus on better understanding the different species, I like to call them that, of 5G with regard to cell service, with and without the dreaded millimeter wave RF. So, next time we need to better understand the different species of 5G with regard to cell service, God willing, that'll be the subject of our next content. I truly hope this has been a help and useful to inspire future projects in your environment. I've been dealing with electromagnetic poisoning for almost 4 decades. And that is why I feel compelled to share what I've learned. I spend hundreds of hours per year in producing free content. I would ask you, please, if you have a heart, to help us in continuing to produce and distribute this type of content. Consider becoming a financial supporter of the show or become a financial supporter on Substack. Link is in the description or emfremedy.com/donate. Writing a review, especially on Apple Podcast, is a help. Most important, please pray that our efforts here will be a blessing to many. Keith Cutter, emfremedy.com. See you next time.
The EMF Remedy Podcast is a project of EMF Remedy LLC. We'd like to be your trusted guide for achieving a better EMF environment in your home. The contents on this podcast are provided for informational purposes only and are not intended to substitute for the advice provided by your doctor or other healthcare professional. It is not intended to be, nor does it constitute, healthcare or medical advice. Opinions of guests on this podcast do not necessarily reflect the opinions of the EMF Remedy Podcast.